Exciting news day today for all you listeners out there. Because for those of you who do not know, this is in fact the first segment of On the Field with Captain Quality. We have some exciting stuff today for all you listeners. First on our agenda is what we do. Here on the field, we discuss MCLA lacrosse and what to expect later on our segment, MCLA Introduction, Journey into the MCLA, MCLA Under Armour Weekly Awards, poll updates, upset of the week, and of course, recent news. And I'm sure you're all wondering, what is the MCLA? What does that stand for? Well, for those of you who are wondering, I'm a little shocked and I'm a little happy that you're listening to on the field right now, because most of our listeners would in fact have some awareness of MCLA lacrosse. But for those of you that don't, I am in fact excited and I'm ready to begin. MCLA lacrosse stands for Men's Collegiate Lacrosse Association, and it consists of a league of 10 non-varsity college lacrosse conferences featuring over 200 teams in two divisions across 43 states and two countries. Now, for those of you that don't understand that, what that means is that these MCLA schools have competitive lacrosse programs, but they're not at the NCAA division level. They're, of course, at MCLA. Now, the MCLA provides a governing structure similar to the NCAA, consisting of eligibility rules, national polls, and a national tournament to decide national champions for both Divisions I and Division II. On the individual scope, the MCLA's rules and structure promote virtual varsity lacrosse. On a national scale, the MCLA's infrastructure supports a level playing field through eligibility rules and enforcement along with the use of NCAA rules of play. Their goal is to provide a quality college lacrosse experience where varsity lacrosse does not yet exist. The purpose of MCLA is to provide access to the collegiate game and for those who seek it. So I think that right there gives us a really solid, you know, gist of what the MCLA is all about. For those of you just turning in, you're on the field with Captain Quality. I'm your host. And right now, I'm going to talk to you about the current journey to the MCLA. Now, every week, I like to do a little segment talking about different players and how they, of course, get to the MCLA. And what better way to start off than by talking about myself, the host, and giving you all the listeners a little background information on where I come from, because I myself am a lacrosse player here at Dominican University, an MCLA Division I program. I was from Southern California, attended Chaminade High School, and was recruited out of high school to play in the East Coast at University of Southern Maine and Thomas College in Maine. Now, of course, as a high schooler, lacrosse player, you always dream of wanting to play in the East Coast. I mean, it's always enticing, you know, all the best schools are on the East Coast. Not that I was at all being recruited by a Division I NCAA school, but it always gives you that feeling of, oh, you know, you're going the real deal, the NCAA, you know, the East Coast. So I decided to take my talents and go across the country to Maine and attend Thomas College and become an attackman for Thomas College Terriers. Well, that all changed quickly because after a semester into my freshman year of college, I quickly realized that a California boy could not make the solid adjustment to the Maine lifestyle despite always wanting to have played college lacrosse at the NCAA level. So I quickly transferred back to Los Angeles and attended community college, where during that time period, I was in fact recruited to come play at Dominican University. Now, of course, I did not know too much about Dominican University or the MCLA as a whole. I myself knew that MCLA teams were considered club teams, and obviously some better than others, but I really didn't know if I wanted that club, you know, name next to me. Did I want to play on a team that was considered a club? But upon talking to the coach and upon talking to mentors and teammates from prior years, I learned that MCLA was a lot more competitive than I'd originally thought. And now here I am at on Penguin Radio, and I'm on the field, you know. So it's kind of neat. And that was just my kind of journey into the MCLA. You know, I started off as a lowly D3 attackman across the country. And now here I am living it up in Dominican University, playing at a competitive level and loving it. And honestly, I think it gives a really good outlet for a lot of kids, that a lot of players who want to keep up that competitive level of lacrosse that are from the West Coast or want to come to the West Coast, because for those of you who don't know, NCAA lacrosse has very little West Coast teams to offer. In terms of Division I, they have one team relatively West Coast in University of Denver, and they have very few Division II, Division III teams. I know for a fact California has the Division III school, Whittier College in Southern California, and Notre Dame Dina Moore College in Claremont, California. And of course, Colorado does offer a couple of NCAA Division II teams. But though it's very slim options for the many, many lacrosse players that there are across the country, and specifically on the West Coast. So what the MCLA does is offer these players a chance to still play at the competitive level and still able to stay on the West Coast or attend a bigger university that has a competitive team. And I know from firsthand experience, and as a matter of fact, that a lot of players do look at MCLA schools over the common NCAA schools purely because they want to stay competitive and maybe not want to travel too far from home. And it's definitely bigger now in California with the numerous schools in California that offer MCLA programs, I mean, Dominican included. And speaking of Dominican, this past weekend, your Dominican Penguins did take a trip up to Oregon to play against the Oregon Ducks and the Western Oregon Wolves. Now, for those of you who haven't heard, the Dominican Penguins did suffer a 22-8 loss to the Oregon Ducks last Saturday. And obviously, being there, I knew it was a rough game for us. And it didn't quite make our upset of the week, given the fact that Dominican was coming into the game 24th ranked. But it was an upset nonetheless, and I feel that it was a good experience for Oregon, who, coming off a losing record last season, really used this win, this first game of the season, as a good pick-me-up, and now are properly ranked above Dominican during the polls that got released today. So, I'll give it to Oregon, you know. I mean, they played a good game. I mean, was it how I wanted it to happen? Of course not. But they played well, they came out, and they proved that they wanted that recognition. You know, they wanted to be more than just that team, you know, the team that wasn't ranked last season, the losing team. And you know what? I give them their credit where credit's due, not the way I wanted it, but, you know, that kind of stuff happens. You know, happens all the time. That's lacrosse. Now, going on to our upset of the week. For those of you that don't know, last season's national champion Grand Canyon University has in fact lost their season opener against a Utah State team. A very surprising upset, and honestly, I don't think anyone really saw it coming. Grand Canyon prior had not lost a game since March 6th of 2015 last season, and then went on to win the national tournament. And very few of their games were actually close. And correction, it was Utah Valley University that beat Grand Canyon University on February 5th, a 10-11 deficit for Grand Canyon. But, I mean, that stuff happens. It's lacrosse. You know, it's going to happen regardless of, you know, what sport. I mean, lacrosse, that's what happens. It's fun. And upsets happen. I mean, Utah Valley, I mean, they really, I guess, wanted to put themselves on the map. You know, last season it was San Diego State that wanted to do that when they beat BYU. This season, Utah Valley came out of the guns, and they said, you know what, we're taking on the number one ranked Grand Canyon University, the defending champs of the MCLA Division I program. And they said, you know, let's go out, let's do it. And you have to give them their credit because they did earn themselves the upset of the week and probably one of the bigger upsets in MCLA history thus far. You know, able to take down a team who had just won the national championship, and no disrespect to Utah Valley, but they're not exactly a big name team. I mean, obviously they might be now after their victory over Grand Canyon, but I mean, prior to that, it was definitely not a school that I had heard of, and I doubt they were looked at too highly by other MCLA Division I programs. But obviously they're here to play. And they prove it by beating Grand Canyon University. And I mean, I'm anxious to see where they go throughout the season. I just have an update that they did suffer a loss to University of Arizona, a 4-10 loss, after their victory over Grand Canyon, which, I mean, does bring up some suspicion. I mean, could one argue that their victory over Grand Canyon was, in fact, a fluke? I mean, you could make that argument. Some might also say, you know, Grand Canyon may not be the team to beat this year, despite them winning the national championship. That could have been their season last year prior. I mean, both valid arguments. You could go either way. Obviously, seeing that Utah Valley did suffer that, you know, 6-goal loss to U of A, could defend the argument that Grand Canyon may not be the same team from last season, but obviously time will tell. It's only been a couple weeks. Very few teams have played over 3 games, if that much. So we still have a lot of time to go. I'm anxious to see how this plays out. I mean, Utah Valley definitely has earned a spot. You know, keep our radar close for them, because honestly, they could. I mean, they could do it again, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat, you know, some of the harder teams in their slate. They've got Westminster College, always a tough team. But San Diego State, just speaking of them, they've got them at San Diego on March 19th. And honestly, those are some top-quality teams, and I would love to see how those pan out. And then, of course, University of Colorado, last year's national champion runner-up and current number one ranked team in the MCLA Division I, they'll be playing Utah Valley Saturday, April 2nd. So Utah Valley definitely did create a very top-notch, tough slate for them this year, top schedule. And I mean, it's time for us as, you know, viewers to see, okay, are they the real team to beat? And it'll be fun to watch, honestly. Like, I'm not complaining at all. I'm definitely anxious to see how that pans out for them. You know, good for them. Now, speaking of the polls and the poll updates, the polls did just get released today. They're considered week one polls after a few games have been played. Not exactly, you know, a whole week. But before we jump into that, I would like to discuss the preseason polls. Now, coming into the season, Grand Canyon University obviously ranked number one in the Division I level, followed by University of Colorado, Virginia Tech, Chapman University, Arizona State University, Georgia Tech, and Cal Poly SLO, just to name the top seven. The Dominican Penguins were, in fact, ranked top 22 in the country preseason ranking, which I felt was very generous. With plenty of our conference competitors still in that top 25 range, you know, Stanford University, Sonoma State, and Cal Poly SLO being up there at number 7. And right now what I don't see, going back to that point, it was the Oregon Ducks. They came into the season unranked, you know, and obviously the Dominican University Penguins had suffered that loss to them, so they were able to dethrone that. Now, in terms of week one polls, the new polls that just came out after a few games, Grand Canyon, after suffering their loss to Utah Valley University, has dropped 8 spots in the polls from number 1 to number 9. Probably the most drastic drop and rise of the teams in both Division I and Division II MCLA teams. No team really raised much higher than, I think, 3 spots, and none dropped further than 8. We have a 6 drop here by SDSU, dropping from 9 to 15 after their loss to UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So, I mean, that's kind of stuff that happens. It's early. It's week one. And as of right now, you do see University of Oregon taking over that 24th spot in the MCLA rankings, tied actually with University of California, Berkeley, who also plays in the WCLL conference as Dominican, Sonoma, Cal Poly SLO, and Stanford University. So a lot of top-notch teams on the slate for your Dominican Penguins, and a lot of action to see, you know, can we bounce back? Can they, you know, come back and, you know, make up for their loss to Oregon? And I think they're going to prove it this week, February 20th, when your Dominican Penguins take on Stanford. I just thought I'd give us a little shout-out. Those of you who are local, feel free to stop by. I mean, it's not that far. If you're in the Bay Area, be Stanford Dominican this Saturday at Dominican University of California. So, it's going to be a great game. Right now, Stanford is currently ranked 13th in the nation in MCLA Division I. And they have just suffered a loss to Oregon State, another top-notch team. So, I'm sure they're going to come out hungry and anxious to win. Now, Dominican University is coming off a win scrimmage game against Western Oregon University. So you can expect the Penguins to come out wanting to earn this legit in-conference victory against Stanford. And it's not going to be an easy one. I expect it to be a very fun, competitive game for both sides. Possibly, most likely a nail-biter. And it'll be this, for those of you who didn't get the time, this Saturday, February 20th at 1 p.m. You'll have to give my Penguins a shout-out. Come watch Stanford Dominican. I mean, I feel it's going to be a fantastic game. Plenty of fans, great atmosphere. Come support your Pangs. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, obviously, that was a sidetrack. Now, back to our polls. Now, yes, we all know Dominican did drop, but obviously the most recent and most drastic was the Grand Canyon drop. And do I think Grand Canyon can bounce back from it? I think their next biggest challenge will be their game against Cal Poly, because Cal Poly offers them a, you know, a tough opponent. They're obviously ranked number 7. And right now, Grand Canyon at number 9, after their one game loss, their only game they played so far. I feel that the Cal Poly-San Luis Obispo game will provide Grand Canyon that test, you know. Can we still run the MCLA? Can we still be that dominant team? You know, was that Utah Valley game still a fluke? And, you know, I'm anxious to see how that game turns out, just purely because not just because the Penguins are in the same conference as Cal Poly, but just because, you know, it's always fun to see, you know, can that, right now, you know, Grand Canyon is not looked, I don't think they're being looked at as the number one team. Obviously, ranking-wise, they're not. They dropped that, you know, 8 spots down to number 9. But I'm anxious to see, you know, can they bounce back from that? Can they, you know, become the team to beat again? You know, is this still their season? Is this still, you know, can they possibly come back and, you know, repeat that MCLA, you know, national championship? And obviously, you know, it's very early to tell. But I think right now that Cal Poly game will be a test game for them the rest of the season. You know, should Cal Poly come out and defeat Grand Canyon University by more than a goal, like the Utah Valley game, I think it'll just give those listeners and those fans who felt that Grand Canyon wasn't the same team, you know, a little sigh of relief, because I feel that they would in fact be right, that Grand Canyon University would not be that same team. Now, this of course is hypothetical, should they lose to Cal Poly. There's still that possibility that, you know, that Utah Valley game was in fact, you know, a fluke or just a possibly a bad game, or that Utah Valley came out and just played the game of their lives, and that Grand Canyon can come out and defeat a top-notch number 7 ranked Cal. That Grand Canyon can beat the Cal Poly Mustangs. So that's a game I'll definitely be following. And for those of you who would like to know the time of that game, it will be on. Sorry, folks, a little technical difficulty. Sunday, February 21st at 12 p.m. So you can probably, I'm sure they have a, you can tune into that game. Would love to, tune into it, listen to it. I think it's going to be a great one to watch. Personally, I would love to watch it. It will be held at Grand Canyon University. So anyone, you know, who might be listening in that area at all, definitely go down there. It will be, I think, Grand Canyon's test game of the year. See where they're at, see if they can bounce back, and see if, you know, they're still the team this year. See if they can recover and become that, once again, dominant force in the MCLA, like they were last season. No, obviously, they had an impressive season last year, only losing to BYU last March, winning out the rest of the season, and aside from their championship game against Colorado, where they won by a goal, most of their games, to say the least, were not tightly competitive at all. They won by, you know, at least 5 goals for most of their games, and some might say, oh, they gave themselves an easy slate, but I felt that looking at their schedule from last season, it was not an easy slate at all. I feel like they gave themselves a wide load of competition, and they just proved themselves last season. You know, last season, looking back at it, they played Michigan State, Santa Barbara, always a top-notch team, University of Colorado in the regular season, Arizona State, University of Arizona, San Diego State, and these are all, for those of you who don't know, top-notch teams, very good teams in the MCLA Division I programs. So they obviously did not skate their way against any easy teams at all. They were beating, you know, the best of the best, you know, the best of them in the MCLA had to offer. So, yeah, I feel like this Cal Poly game upcoming Sunday will in fact provide us as fans, as a kind of a viewer, kind of just in the eyes of them, like where Grand Canyon is this season. You know, can they hang with these teams? Obviously, and right after that Cal Poly game, they do have a rematch against the University of Colorado, a rematch of last year's national championship. And as you may know, Colorado is in fact the number one ranked team in MCLA Division I. I'm sure they would love to beat Grand Canyon, obviously, after suffering that one goal loss in last year's national championship game. That game will be Friday, February 26th. Grand Canyon definitely gave themselves quite the slate this year. After winning that national championship, I'm sure they did not expect to lose that first game to Utah Valley University. But again, like I said previously, it's lacrosse. That stuff happens. That's why it's worth watching. That's why it's fun. We're going to take a quick timeout off the field right now. Give you all a chance to gather yourselves up, and we'll be back shortly. Thank you.
Challenge accepted.
This is Penguin Radio.
Time in. We are back on the field. Hello, hello, hello. I am your host, Captain Quality. And those of you still listening, we're of course back on the field, and you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. And feel free to, you know, pass it on word of mouth to your buddies, to your friends, any lacrosse fans, any fans of just radio in general, honestly. Like, I mean, I don't think it can go wrong at all. Anyone who enjoys just listening to good solid radio, good solid lacrosse talk. I feel like I'm nailing it right now, so feeling pretty good. Now, I know that first segment we talked about a lot of the NCAA Division One, and I don't think I've been giving my MCLA Division Two teams enough credit. So I'm gonna take some time right now and talk about MCLA Division Two. Now, obviously, not having that Division One, you know, name, that, you know, that pedigree, people might say, oh, you know, Division Two, you know, what's the importance, but despite being Division II teams, they're still very competitive programs. Can hang with most of your Division I programs. Most of the Division II names just happen to be schools who are a lot smaller than your Division I schools. And I would like to read off the top 10 preseason polls for Division II. starting with number one, last season's Division II national champion, University of Dayton, followed by Concordia University in Irvine, University of St. Thomas, North Dakota State, St. John's, Western Washington, Grand Valley State at number 7, Missouri Valley College at number 8, Siena Heights at 9, at number 10, Grove City College. I'm sure, you know, a lot of you are, you know, thinking, I mean, if you're not big MCLA Division II fans, you're wondering, wow, I've definitely never heard of 8 of those schools, if not 9. You know, probably the one school I've heard of, the two schools I've heard of would be North Dakota State and University of Dayton if I hadn't been a MCLA lacrosse follower. But yeah, these schools are in fact, I mean, top-notch Division II teams in the MCLA, and quite honestly, they could hang with a lot of your Division I teams, despite, you know, having a Division II name. Now, for those of you who didn't know, University of Dayton was last year's Division II national champion, and actually had quite a nail biter in their first game on last Saturday, the 13th, where they nearly squeaked by. You know, get ready for this: Lawrence Tech University. I mean, Lawrence Tech. Funny one, right? Well, they won. The University of Dayton was able to pull out an 11-10 victory over Lawrence Tech and still regain that number one spot in the polls after, you know, being still keeping their reins as national champions, still, you know, still the team to beat, unlike, you know, some of the upsets we had in the Division I spectrum. Now, a little quick recap of University of Dayton last season. They did have an impressive slate and schedule upon them. And they too, actually, they didn't necessarily skate their way and just, you know, walk their way into the national championship game. They definitely suffered, you know, a few losses last season. Unlike, you know, Grand Canyon having only that one loss last year, they suffered a loss to North Dakota State, St. John's University, and Grand Valley State during the regular season. And even during tournament time in regular season, I mean, during national tournament time, they, aside from their first game against Kennesaw State University, they weren't really rolling over teams. Their last three national tournament games were all decided by a goal, which, aside from Grand Canyon's one-goal victory over Colorado in the championship game, that wasn't the case for Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon was having a bit easier of a time winning their games in the national tournament. So it's very interesting to see how a team like this, and I think it just shows a lot of that team, you know, they're winning these games by a goal. You know, I personally have not watched every single one of the University of Dayton Flyers games, so I can't say, you know, I know their playing style, but from what I can tell, based on these numbers and a lot of their wins throughout the rest of last season, leading up to their championship game against Concordia University Irvine, is that, I mean, they can finish. They're clutch. I don't know if they're up in the games or down in the games or coming back or whatnot. But, I mean, from what I can see, they score when it counts and they D up when it counts because they are they are narrowly escaping team. And one goal, decides, you know, whether Siena Heights made it to that next round or whether, you know, University of St. Thomas made it to the championship game or Concordia or Irvine would win the championship game. One goal. So, I mean, I'll give it up to the Division II University of Dayton Flyers because that's definitely a big deal. And even so, going back to this season, I mean, that one goal victory over Lawrence Tech, I'm sure not a big name, even for Division II. I wouldn't consider them a huge name. Obviously, the first game of the year for University of Dayton Flyers, Division II team, they wanted to come out there. You know, I'm sure they came out expecting to have an easier victory, to say the least. You know, most teams do that. They will have the schedule a team where they realize, you know, they have a shot of winning, especially teams coming off a championship. They want to come out there and just, you know, still regain that, hey, we're number one still. And they started off by playing, you know, a game where they feel like they can win, and this happened to be a conference game against Lawrence Tech. And, you know, they did win, but by one goal margin. So I'm anxious to see how that works out in that conference, consisting of University of Michigan, Dearborn, Grove City College, Lourdes, Lawrence Tech, and University of Dayton. Because, quite honestly, after seeing Lawrence Tech hold their own with University of Dayton, I feel like they could pull some upsets this season, if not some of the other teams that University of Dayton plays. Obviously, North Dakota State, St. John's, you know, both top 5, top 10 teams in MCLA Division II. So University of Dayton thus far is, in fact, safe. You know, in the Week 1 polls, they still reign number one. In fact, the top 5 teams in MCLA Division II did not move. in contrast to the top five teams from Division One, in which all of them moved. I don't believe any of them were the same. University of Colorado jumped up, Chapman jumped up two, ASU jumped up two, Virginia Tech went down one, and BYU jumped up three. So yeah, none of these five teams were in these exact spots in the previous polls. Now, of course, the new polls coming up today shows that all the top five teams in MCLA Division II are, in fact, in those same exact spots and haven't moved yet, despite, you know, University of St. Thomas losing that game to North Dakota State. They lost a 13-15, and yet North Dakota State's still in that four spot with University of St. Thomas at that three spot. So, I mean, I'm excited to see how that plays out the rest of the season because, I feel like if you beat a team ranked higher than you, you should, you know, jump it up, especially a team like, especially right there, 3-4. You know, why not give North Dakota State that third place, rating over University of St. Thomas, bump them down to four, because obviously, they beat them by two goals, but still a victory nonetheless. And speaking of teams from Division II hanging with Division One, Concordia University in Irvine, California, won their last game against Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, 21-7. Now, for those of you who do not know this, Loyola Marymount University is, in fact, an MCLA Division I program, which Concordia University Irvine did have a... I'm not going to try to sound disrespectful to Loyola Marymount, but had their way with them in that 14-goal victory. And I'm going to take a look at that right now and just see how that played out. For the Concordia Eagles, I think, as I can tell right now, they were, in fact, led by attackman Brandon Mayo with 3 goals and 2 assists, as well as attackman Dylan Bernard with 4 goals and 3 assists. So 2 attacking for the Concordia Eagles, basically giving it the raw and outplaying the defense of the Loyola Marymount Lions. And it just goes to show that, just because a team has that Division II, name, just because they're a Division II team does not mean they cannot hang with a Division I. I mean, obviously, they did more than just hang with a Division I team. They won by a pretty substantial margin against Loyola Marymount, which, of course, no disrespect to Loyola Marymount, but this is more just like a positive towards Concordia Irvine, and just Division II teams everywhere, just saying that, just because you're Division II doesn't mean, you're any worse than any other team. I mean, quite obviously, we can see it. A Division II team beat a Division I team by a good amount of goals, and I'm sure it's not the only Division I team that they will beat this season. I'm sure should they play more teams in Division I, they could have a good shot of beating those teams. Now, I'm looking at their schedule right now. I do not appear to see any more games against teams in MCLA Division I. I feel like the slate is pretty much loaded with MCLA Division II teams, which of course makes sense. Division II plays Division II. But, I mean, it's fun to see. It's always fun to see a nice little upset like that. I mean, some wouldn't consider it upset given how talented Concordia University Irvine Eagles are. But, I mean, Division II over Division I in some people's books can be looked at as some sort of upset, just to say, hey, just because we're D2 doesn't mean we can't hang. Doesn't mean we can't play. Now, looking at the rest of the slate this year for the Concordia Irvine Eagles, and I do see a couple familiar teams. University of California Davis, who last season was a Division I MCLA program, has switched with University of Nevada Reno and became a Division II program this season. And they will be playing against the Concordia Irvine Eagles. So, I mean, not exactly, not quite a Division I team this year, but, Davis did compete at that Division I level. So on Monday, March 21st, I'm definitely going to be keeping up to date with that game to see how Concordia does against a team formerly in Division I after, of course, their victory against Loyola Marymount, a Division I program. Now, going back to our polls, I do notice a couple minor changes in the polls, but for the most part, a lot of teams did stay where they were. From rankings 11 to 18, not one change at all, despite, how some teams may have beaten other ones. In the top 25, in the top 10, very few changes were made. Western Oregon University actually went down a spot after a 24-1 victory over Pacific Lutheran, which, of course, these rankings, polls, there's a lot of factors into them. Obviously, how other teams did, how did everyone play well, the other teams win, the other teams lose. But I just feel like you can't go down. I mean, it's kind of hard looking at this and saying, why did this team go down after winning a game? You know, they're being punished for winning that game. Obviously, no disrespect to Pacific Lutheran, who haven't won since April of 2011. But Western Oregon did get the W nonetheless. And I feel like that drop in the ranking, even though it was just one, you know, it kind of sucks, to say the least. You know, it's like, it's whatever. You know, it's the one drop. I'm sure they can bounce back from it. Just coming back from playing Western Oregon, I can say that they are a competitive team. A Division I program did beat Western Oregon, but I'm not going to say it was a cakewalk. They had a very talented players in their team, a very large-sized roster. And I mean large size, I don't mean large numbers. I mean these players at Western Oregon are pretty substantial-sized men, pretty big guys, pretty big boys, and they could all play. So I'm anxious to see how Western Oregon does throughout the season. Definitely a team I wouldn't have pegged to be a threat, but you never know. This is lacrosse, and coming after playing against Western Oregon, I feel like they could easily notch up themselves up into that top 15 range, if not higher, throughout the rest of the season, given their current talent. Now, after talking about the polls, you know, I get to give my Division II teams a little shout-out, talk about them. You know, I'm sure they're definitely the underappreciated ones of the MCLA, because, you know, most people hear the MCLA, they want to hear about your big-name schools, your Stanfords, your USCs, your Colorados, your University of Arizona's, ASU's, because, I mean, those are the schools out here that don't have the NCAA programs, but yet they're still the big-name schools. They're still the schools that, you know, student-athletes and students in general want to attend, which is why, for the most part, a lot of these bigger-name schools do really well competing in the MCLA NCAA programs against other MCLA programs. Obviously, growing up, you know, all your buddies in high school, they want to go to the big party schools. You know, they want to go to your big name Division I programs. You know, Cal Poly, you know, ASU is a big one up there. But they want to go to the big schools, state schools, have fun. And while they're there, I mean, it gives them this MCLA does provide them a chance to play lacrosse at a competitive level. Which is, again, going back to that, is why you see a lot of your bigger name schools up here, and why these bigger name schools probably get more attention, because for the most part, a lot of these schools have Division I programs in all your more major sports, such as basketball or football, and people do keep up with those sports, you know, quite heavily. USC football, ASU basketball, University of Arizona, and these are all teams that people, you know, watch on TV nationally, you know, year after year. Professional athletes come out of these schools all the time. So, these teams will get more recognition, you know, through MCLA Division I as opposed to your MCLA Division II teams. You know, University of Dayton only being the only one of the bigger names I see on this list. You know, I mean, Cal State Fullerton, smaller school. University of San Diego, smaller school with it's teams that you won't necessarily consider big schools in any athletic aspect, which is why some of them may have lower divisions in the NCAA level and other sports programs. But you know what, I felt like I had to give a shout out to my Division II teams. I mean, they're putting up hard work. They come out, they practice, they play just like any other team in Division I, Division II, or the NCAA. So I mean, you can't not you give them a little recognition. You can't not, you know, say they don't, just because of Division II, they don't play as hard, because obviously, you know, anything could happen. Division II teams will end up beating some Division I teams. And I don't think that that Concordia Irvine game will be the last we see of a Division II beating a Division I. Honestly, anything can happen, and I'm anxious to see how it pans out. So I want to talk to you all about now the Pac-12 shootout that happened, Pac-12 tournament shootout that happened this past weekend. And right now I have, according to my resources, Arizona improved to 3-0 in the season by going 2-0 at the Pac-12 tournament this past weekend, beating Cal Berkeley and Utah. The tournament is its ninth year and is held on the campus of UCLA, so a little shout out to my hometown of Los Angeles. Arizona picked up a 9-3 win against number 24 California, or Cal, on Saturday in its first game. And from what I can gather, the defense was the story of the weekend, with the goalie Tanner Nego making 13 saves and only allowing 3 goals. So obviously that percentage is off the charts, and you can see why. 13 saves, only allowing 3 goals. That's very good on any aspect. And according to our resources, a big part of that was due to the defense in front of him. His pulls: Nolan Baker, 5 ground balls; Griffin Gaudreau, 7 ground balls; and Jackson Penny, 3 ground balls, as well as LSN Greg Gutierrez with foreground balls, were able to shut down the Bears and give Nego the shots, you know, any goal he really wants to see. And that's what you can ask for out of your defense. You know, when your defense and your goalie and your poles, your defenders, as well as your defensive middies, are providing you with that reassurance, with that defense, I'm sure it gives you that confidence boost, gives you that sigh of relief saying, hey, I can trust my poles out there. I can trust my teammates, trust my defenders, and that they're actually going to be there for me, which helps me play better. Now, I'm not a goalie. I'm just saying I can imagine that's what any goalie is thinking. I'm a defender, so I know what it's like to give your goalie that sigh of reassurance. Now, going back to University of Arizona, I think personally, going off what I see right now, could be a team to beat this year. Obviously, 3-0 in the season, still early, but top program in the MCLA Division I spectrum. Now, aside from their defenses, their offense was led by sophomore attackman Jeff Howard, who was playing his first game back after having a season-ending injury last year. Howard scored 3 goals along with an assist, highlighted by a goal in which Howard was lying on his stomach and still managed to get the ball past the goalkeeper, which, I mean, is fascinating, really. I mean, on his stomach, somehow able to get a shot off. I wish I had a video footage of that, because that is very interesting. I mean, maybe the goal was at a cage, I don't know. But on the stomach, got the shot off, went through the goal. That's just tenacity by any means necessary. One to score. But he didn't do it alone. Sophomore midfielder Christian Turi helped out on offense with a hat trick. And for those of you who don't know, hat trick is in fact 3 goals. Junior Matt Lai and sophomore Ryan Falbo and freshman Colton Lloyd also scored a goal apiece in the victory. So, I mean, I'm taking to see how the Wildcats do the rest of the season. Good program, big name, obviously. And they could easily, I can't see why. For me personally, they're my team to beat this year. They've moved up a couple spots. They're currently number 8, obviously not quite top 5, but in that top 10 spectrum, right behind Cal Poly and right ahead of Grand Canyon University. They do play Colorado State University, Fort Collins next. So I'm anxious. I'd really like to see how that pans out for them. I expect a University of Arizona Wildcats victory, but then again, we never know. Now, going back to the other Arizona school, Arizona State University, who is currently number 3 in the MCLA, has won both their games by a solid amount of goals, beating Oregon State 10-7 and University of Southern California 11-4. And the reason I bring up these schools is because I'm really just impressed by how well these Arizona schools, you know, how well they're doing. I mean, all 3 of these schools are top 10 MCLA Division I programs. And, I mean, no disrespect to Arizona at all, but I mean, you don't really hear too much about lacrosse in Arizona. Growing up, I played a couple teams from Arizona, you know, tournaments, you know, exhibition games. And they're obviously good teams, but it's just you never hear about these colleges. I just feel like you never expect it from these Arizona schools, and all 3 of their big name schools happen to have they're all 3 top notch lacrosse programs. So that's the only reason I bring it up right now, just because it's really, I think it's just kind of neat. You know, right now we see these Arizona schools just keep holding their own in the MCLA Division I, and I'm sure they'll be able to keep it up. And I mean, let's hope to see how the season works out for them. Now, I do, in fact, have some breaking news, courtesy of Dominican University. For those of you who didn't see the article this past season on Dominican, we announced that Dominican University was ahead of 4 captains for the opening the season. Alex Kulian, senior defender, senior midfielder Cody Bernstein, sophomore midfielder Michael Manfredi, and junior attackman Max Kaler. Now, I've just received this breaking news that during a team revote, the team has revoted and decided that only 2 captains would be necessary, and that senior midfielder Cody Bernstein and senior defender Alex Kulian will in fact keep their captain status and will be the only 2 captains following the season for the Penguins, which I think is very interesting to do. It's obviously hard to make that kind of call with the season already starting, but given the state where the Dominican Penguins are at, I'm sure Coach Sammy Vogel-Seidenberg felt, and the rest of the team felt, that it was time to do something in order to get the team's groove back together and just, you know, see what we can, you know, get that leadership back up. And I feel that having these two seniors, also former NCAA Division II players, will provide that leadership that Dominican needs to hopefully get their season back on track. Now, out of breaking news, I would like to talk about our Under Armour Players of the Week for both Division I and Division II. Now, for those of you that don't understand, that don't know, Under Armour is an official supplier of the MCLA, and each week Under Armour sponsors and does an article about an athlete who had the best performance that given week of polls, that given week of play. And this week for Division I, it goes to, of course, University of Arizona senior goalie Tanner Nego, who we had just been talking about, who has been issued the MCLA Division I Commanding Performance of the Week by Under Armour for the period ending on February 14th, a few days ago before the polls had been released. I want to talk about this, actually, because this is a very big deal. Of all the teams in MCLA Division I, all the players, all the outstanding athletes, Under Armour felt, and MCLA felt, it would be necessary to single out the performance made by Tanner Nego of Arizona, and a goalie, actually. So, obviously, I mean, goalie not the most glamorous job, but they do, in my opinion, they do the most work. They're taking those shots. They're the ones, you know, saving our team. You know, winning games starts with defense, and that goal is the heart of that defense. So carrying on with the story, on Saturday against number 24 Cal Berkeley, as stated previously, Nego did turn away 13 shots, helping the Wildcats stifle the Golden Bears 9-3. And you know, Berkeley is not a team to roll over. They're a very competitive program, well-coached, well-talented, and it just says a lot about the goalie and the defense of Arizona, you know, Nego himself. And he was able to hold a team as talented as Cal 2-3 goals with the help of his D-poles, of course, but still, you know, the season's still young. I think that is deserving of a commanding performance nonetheless. He stopped 9 shots on Valentine's Day, blinking, and after they did beat Utah the next day, 9-0. So he had a shutout after 9 shots, didn't let any in. And right now, Nego is 3-0 with a 2.33 goal against average and an 82.9, that's, might as well just say 83 save percentage, which is remarkable by any goalie. I've been playing lacrosse for 7 years, and you've got a goalie whose save percentage is about 50-60%, that's a pretty good goalie. Right now you got a goalie whose save percentage is 83%. This Nego definitely deserves this Player of the Week award. He started the little campaign last week with a 12-team performance victory against Utah Valley. And the Utah Valley, who had just upset Grand Canyon the night before. So Arizona Wildcats coach Dan Pedrick did have a statement to say about Tanner, saying, "Tanner did a great job all weekend of seeing the ball and leading our team. You can't put any better than that, honestly, given especially with the numbers that are there." He then went on to say, "He puts himself in great positions and has an uncanny knack of playing angles. It's very impressive to watch him play the position. He's the backbone of our team, and our team feeds off his easygoing demeanor. We also had an outstanding effort with a defense in front of him. They play a huge role as well in forcing the offense to bad angle shots, making it easy on Tanner." That's very generous of the coach to say, and obviously, I mean, from what I can gather, this goalie definitely is the real deal and quite deserving of the commanding performance from Under Armour MCLA Division I. So, because of that, for his efforts in earning the commanding performance of the week, powered by Under Armour, Nego will, in fact, receive a new Under Armour command head. And once again, Under Armour is the proud sponsor of the MCLA. Now, going on to our Under Armour honor roll, which is our honorable mentions of players who did have, in fact, great performances. Not quite, you know, the Tanner Nego goalie performance, but great performances nonetheless. I would like to read off those names. Name number one, Tyler Akai, a senior from Florida State, opened up the weekend with 5 goals and an assist in the Seminoles' rout of Alabama in the season opener, and followed up with 4 more markers and 2 assists in the victory over previously undefeated Auburn. Again, for those, some big name schools right there. Those are football schools, obviously, here, the Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, but all Division I MCLA programs. And congratulations, Tyler Akai, for making the Under Armour Honor Roll. Next on our Under Armour Honor Roll is Chris Severson, a freshman from BYU. Says the Cougars tangled with a rugged UNLV squad fresh off an upset of San Diego State, and Severson lifted BYU to the 14-9 win with four goals and an assist, able to contribute for five goals total, having 5 points, and helping them defeat a talented team. Next on our list is Austin Lord, a sophomore at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. In a rivalry game with number 25, University of California, Santa Barbara, Lord went 16 for 20 at the faceoff dot, snatched 10 ground balls, and dished out an assist in the Mustangs' 11-6 victory against Santa Barbara. As a former faceoff guy, 16 for 20 is just, off the charts, 80% on the faceoffs, obviously. 10 ground balls, I'm sure we're all a part of that. I'm sure this player, from what I can gather, only given that he only had the one assist in the game, is most likely a FOGO, a face-off, get-off type player who was able to make a big impact on this team, obviously, with those numbers. So congratulations, Austin, on making the Under Armour Honor Roll. Next on our list is Grant Clifford, a junior from Oregon, University of Oregon. Now, it pains me to read this next piece, but the Ducks rolled over number 22 Dominican in the season opener, 21-8, thanks in large part to Clifford. The attackman posted 4 goals and set up 5 others for the Ducks. Now, obviously, playing in that game, I would make the argument that Grant Clifford could have easily been selected as, having the commanding performance of the week over Nego. And I think it's like the performances are quite, similar. Obviously, one's a goalie, one's attackman, but that obviously a dominating effort, having 4 goals and 5 assists, 9 points, counting for 9 of your team's goals, I think should be worthy of the performance of the week. So if there's any of these honorable mentions that I felt should deserve that spot along with Nego, it would be, in fact, Grant Clifford of Oregon. And last in our Division I MCLA honorable mentions, it is Adam Connolly, a senior from Southern Methodist University. And it reads, the Mustangs defeated Texas for the first time since 2009, 8-6, with Connolly making 17 in the SMU cage. After 3 games, the Mustangs are undefeated with a .53 goals against average, thanks to Connolly. Well, congratulations to Adam Connolly, and congratulations to all of our Under Armour Honor Roll players, honorable mentions, and obviously a final congrats to goalie Tanner Nego of University of Arizona, for having our Under Armour commanding performance of the week for MCLA Division I. Now, again, I don't want to count out our Division II athletes or teams at all, so I would like to read off our Under Armour Division II player of the week, commanding performance of the week. And that would have to go to a player from University of California, Davis, Tarek Mosali. And the last game, after racking up 8 goals and 7 assists in 2 games over the number 22-seeded Portland, UC Davis senior attackman Tarek Mosali has been named the winner of the commanding performance of the week, provided by Under Armour. And it states, the Aggies took care of the 22nd-ranked Pilots behind 5 goals and 2 assists from Mosali. The Pleasanton, California native accounted for half of UC Davis's production in the 14-9 triumph the next day. Mosali tacked on a hat trick and 5 helpers assists in a 15-4 victory over Humboldt State, and also grabbed 6 ground balls during those 2 games. UC Davis coach Frank Resateridis said, Tarek is one of the big reasons our team has had such great success on the field this past weekend. He's really worked on evolving his skill set to be a complete player, and having 7 points against a nationally ranked team really shows that he stepped up his game upon the spring. I'm excited to see how his game continues to progress and how our team continues to develop into a well-rounded unit. And congratulations, Tarek, for becoming this week's MCLA Division II commanding performance of the week player. Under Armour is also proud to sponsor the MCLA. Now, just like our MCLA Division I athletes, there will be an Under Armour honorable mention role players for the rest of the players in MCLA Division II who did in fact have great performances thus far. One fact being Dylan Bernad, a senior from Concordia Irvine, says Bernad continues his hot start, netting 4 goals and setting up 3 others as the Eagles smash Division I Loyola Marymount 21-7. I tried to be a little easier on LMU a little while ago. Try not to use any ego crushing words there, but right there, Eagles smashed Division One, Loyola Marymount. And obviously, I mean, a 14-goal margin. I mean, I guess that does constitute a smash adjective and a victory. Congratulations, Dylan. I mean, way to go, Division Two, proving that they're still a team to be reckoned with in Concordia Irvine. Next up is Monte Bordeaux, sophomore from Missouri State. It reads, the Bears took down Division One foes Missouri and Arkansas. There we go again. So Missouri State able to take down Division One its opponents, Missouri and Arkansas. Missouri game being 7-4 and Arkansas being 10-6, thanks to a combined 5 goals and an assist from Bordeaux in the 2 victories. So I like to see that right off the bat. I'd love to see, you know, these two players, Dylan and Monte, able to just come out of the gun and on their Division II teams and prove, hey, you know, just because we're Division II doesn't mean we still can't play. You know, we're still top-notch players on top-notch teams and respectable programs, and we can compete at Division I level. I mean, these last two players both notched their victories against Division I programs, which speaks a lot about these teams in general and these players as a whole, you know. Enough of that, though. Next up, we have Michael Glaser, a sophomore from University of Dayton. The top-ranked Flyers got a big scare against Lawrence Tech, as I stated earlier, but Glaser did save them with the hat trick, including the game winner in double overtime and set up 3 other goals. So there you have it. Michael Glaser looks like, I can't say he's the sole reason, but definitely one of the leading contributing factors as to how University of Dayton was able to keep that top rank against Lawrence Tech. I mean, a double overtime game. I mean, the game winner in a double overtime game by Glaser. I mean, if I were to give any of these honorable mention guys the player of the week commanding performance winner, I think it'd have to be Glaser. Just based solely on the fact, I mean, yeah, were they expected to beat Lawrence Tech? I'm sure they were, but in a game like that, you can't count anyone out. And the fact that that game went to double overtime, he had the hat trick and was able to set up his teammates for 3 more goals, as well as not only the hat trick but the game winner in double overtime, just proves that he's a very clutch player, very talented athlete, and able to perform under that pressure. Just a sophomore. So if I were to give anyone else that player of the week, top notch, it would be Glaser, but I don't want to take anything away from Tarek Masali, who still had a demanding performance. Last on our honorable mention list is Tim Pop Jr., okay, of Lawrence Tech. Thanks to 4 goals and 2 assists from the attackman, the Blue Devils took defending national championship Dayton to double overtime on Saturday before obviously losing in double overtime, 11-10. Now that speaks volumes about a student like Tim Pop Jr., Not to mention the name, obviously a different one, but goes to Lawrence Tech. So what do you expect? But you got to give it to him: 4 goals and 2 assists, 6 points from an attackman, almost leading the way, almost leading the upset, another upset, you know, another number one team upset this week. So you got to give it to that. I mean, you got to give it to Tim. Definitely deserving of an honorable mention this week of commanding performances in the MCLA Division I and Division II. And as our time's winding down, I'd just like to say thank you for those of you who are still listening. I definitely had a blast tonight on the field. I'm glad that you were all on the field with me tonight discussing these MCLA teams, our future in the MCLA. And just to get able to have a little powwow about, you know, teams and polls and players of the week, and just able to talk about, you know, what goes on each week. You know, obviously the games that go on national television are your big name NCAA teams, Duke, your North Carolinas, your Syracuses. But for those of you who like to keep it, you know, keep it real, and, you know, like to still give out a big shout out to your MCLA programs, I mean, these are still top notch players, top notch teams that can compete with, I can't say all, but a lot of NCAA division programs. So it's just because they're considered quote-unquote club teams does not mean anyone should count them out in terms of competitiveness. I'd like to thank you all again for listening. You again are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I've been your host, Captain Quality. You were on the field. I want to thank you all. Have a pleasant evening. And I will see you all next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, every Wednesday, from 8 to 9 p.m. And you will once again be on the field with Captain Quality. But good night. Good evening. Stay safe. And just game on, honestly. We're making the one stop. The general.